Alrighty, welcome back. A little bit more Foo Fighters on the muster today. I thought I'd crank it up a little bit. Seems to be doing the job. Anyway, time to catch up with Richard Kite, who's the project leader for Thriving Southland. Richard, good afternoon. Welcome to the muster. How's things?
Afternoon, Andy. Good, thanks. Great day down here.
I was going to say, enjoying the Southland sunshine. You got your shorts on. You just parked up relaxing, are you, out in the sun?
Yeah. Shorts will be out.
Come on, it's going to be winter soon. I mean, I know there are certain members or audience listeners who never go out of shorts, no matter what time of the year it is.
There's a few hardy characters down here, I'll tell you, yeah.
They're nuts, to be honest. But anyway, that's a whole other story. Unfortunately, I have to dress slightly professionally. I get in trouble if I wear shorts in my job. So anyway. Hey, catchment groups, obviously, now we've been talking about them. Is it fair to say, Richard, that a lot of the low-hanging fruit when it comes to people involved in catchment groups has already been picked? I mean, by what I mean to say is, you know, anyone who was sort of inclined to become part of a catchment group is already there?
Yeah, I think that's fair comment, Andy. The people who've seen, sort of looking at the direction of travel and thought they needed to get involved, they're already in those groups. And I suppose some of their frustration is they can actually see where things are going, and they're trying to get further engagement with their communities and with the farming community as well.
That being said, and as you quite rightly said, there is a level of frustration. These guys, girls, companies, farms are already doing their bit. It must be a little bit frustrated to look across the fence or up the stream a little bit and see someone not involved. How do they encourage? What sort of things would someone like that be saying to the neighbour or a group of neighbours who weren't involved as to why they should get involved in a catchment group?
Yeah, well, I suppose one of the key things is social connections, the first starting point, and you see that in catchment groups, a great place to get together. And when we're looking at direction of travel and regulation, it can be quite isolating when you're trying to work through that on your own. So one of the first points is actually getting along to one of these groups and then actually being informed about what actually is happening rather than what everybody thinks is happening. The cross-sectoral groups, which is quite it's quite different. There's a whole all the sectors sit around farmers, discussing with farmers, working through the issues, working through what are today's issues, but also talking about where things are heading. So that's really important, and important from a business perspective as well. I had a farmer say to me, "Why should I be involved in a catchment group? There's a whole lot of regulation coming. I'll just do what I'm told." And my response was, and you see this with the farms that are in the group, is actually if you know where things are heading, they may not turn out exactly that way, but you actually you start thinking today about where your business is going to be in 10 years' time, which actually gives you a real strong position.
Interesting. I just want to pick up what you said about cross-sectional, because that's not something I'd thought about. But when you think about it, in a farm in Southland, you might be a sheep and beef farmer, you might have a dairy farmer on one side, you might have a deer farmer on the other side. Potentially, in certain areas, you might have an arable crop farmer somewhere else on another boundary. Generally, all of those farmers will be involved in their own discussion groups. They'll be part of Dairy NZ, they'll be part of Beef and Lamb, they'll be part of FAR, whatever it is. This, as you said, this would be the one opportunity where they could all come together and discuss issues, because their farming systems are so different. A catchment group would be the one opportunity, wouldn't it?
Oh, it is, and it's interesting to see those groups when they're talking with each other, and because they're working on a catchment-based approach, and they actually all bring, fascinating to watch the different strengths they bring, the systemization from dairy and the sheep and beef guys, the traders, that they're used to altering systems quite often. So there's a whole lot of strengths across all the different sectors, and when they sit around the table, that's bringing all that together. Yeah.
Mm. And as a farmer, sort of not involved in a catchment group, I could see there could be a little bit of reluctance, maybe intimidation. You might have a neighbour who's been into it. You have a look at their systems, their farms. They've done a lot. That could be a barrier to getting involved, couldn't it be?
Yeah, I think the reality is everybody in a catchment group's been in that position and everybody's really aware of that. So when somebody walks in the door, there's no judgment around where you sit. It's actually, oh, great, there's somebody here, and what can we share with you, and what can you bring to the table? And everybody's got something. So I think that's not a reason not to come along. And people get up to speed really quickly because they're in a group of like-minded, or sometimes not always like-minded, but, you know, peers who are working through that. And I suppose the other side of it is you're also the information about your catchment and the science and the speakers and the sort of you can help work projects around that, and then you start getting a real understanding of where things are heading so really quickly. So it's you don't feel you're a long way behind. It's actually the sooner you get involved, the sooner you get up to speed.
One of my favourite quotes, which I've quoted as ad nauseam for the last 3 or 4 years, is that over 50% of all Southland waterways are under farmer-run catchment groups. Richard, where's that stat now? Is it increased significantly?
So there's 25 catchment groups across Southland, and we've pretty much got coverage right across Southland now. And those catchment groups are formed around, you know, communities and their waterways. I think that's certainly well over, you know, probably 70% would be of those in pastoral areas. Yeah. Mm.
And it's good to see them still springing up. And also there's been a couple of urban ones jump in as well, which is really good to hear. Richard, have you guys got anything coming up, Thriving Southland, any events coming up in the very near future?
There've been a few stream walks happening lately. We're getting to the winter phase of things now, but certainly there's a women's evening, a couple of those being run during the winter around that connection. So there's quite a. If you look on the Thriving Southland website, actually, you'll see all the events we've got lined up and coming through. Yeah.
All right, Richard Kite, project lead for Thriving Southland. So the Thriving Southland website or Facebook page is the place to go if you want to get any more advice or if you're interested in getting involved in your local catchment group.
Yeah, certainly, and connecting with the catchment coordinators so they can put you in touch with your local catchment group and the people you need to be talking to. Yeah.
All right, mate, really do appreciate your time. Thanks very much. Keep up the good work, and we're going to catch up with you next week at the dairy event. Are you coming to that?
Yep. That'd be good to see you there.
All right. I'm going to get Cheers. Myself along to that. I think that's next Thursday, so we'll get along to that. All right, mate. Good.
Excellent.
Good.
All good. Cheers, Andy. Okay, thanks.
Right, we'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow, actually, with Dairy NZ. But, yeah, Thriving Southland catchment groups, great organiser. As you said, 75% over of Southland Waterways farmers involved in protecting. And the one thing I should have said, which I forgot, is that this is a real blueprint for the rest of the country, and that's why this money has been invested by the government into Thriving Southland, because they see the success, and I'm sure it's going to get rolled out in other areas. So it's great to see Southland leading the way, as usual. Rightio, after the break, a bit of finance or accounting with Aaron Howes, and then we're going to catch up with CEO of Field Days, Peter Nation.